Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Hope everyone's doing well. Still to come on the program in the next hour, you want to stay tuned for Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall and Pete Ream, columnist and radio host. You can hear him on these very airwaves. Joining us now, I can say this officially since the last time we saw him, Congressman-elect Jerry Carl is on the line. How are you doing today, Commissioner?
I'm wonderful, Jeff, and thank you so much for inviting me to come on. And things are looking very positive.
Well, I tell you, one of the things a nerd like me is kind of fascinated or interested in is when you're a new congressman, when you're a congressman-elect, that there is a transition kind of, I mean, not so much like the presidency, but there are things you've got to do to get ready for the new Congress. And all of that is, you know, I mean, there's orientations and you're meeting all kinds of new people. And I think things are just coming fast and furious at you. Talk about that experience and what that's like.
Well, I'm fortunate in that Congressman Byrne has a great staff that's assembled. So, as far as staffing up, we're almost complete with that. He's got some folks that have been in those positions. One actually goes back to Sonny Callahan days. And, that type of knowledge, is hard to replace. So I've managed to keep most of Bradley's staff, which I'm proud of that. We've still got a couple that we haven't filled yet. They're primarily up in the D.C. area. But, it's all about great people. I had some great people on my campaign. I was able to secure at least two of those that we're able to bring with us, and they're carrying a lot of the load, the phone calls, the texts, and making sure that dates and times and places and arrangements are made. We will leave Thursday, be gone for about 9 days orientation. We're excited for that. I mean, all the manuals I've been receiving, I can't keep up with the reading portion of it. But we've got a learning curve here, and we're excited to get started. I want to get to work. I've been on campaign trail here for close to 2 years, and I'm ready to get to work.
What's that like? You're running around, going to events one after another, doing radio hits, doing other media appearances, really getting the name out there, making sure your signs are up now. That's gone away.
And the signs are a big issue for me because they're such an eyesore from day one, in my opinion. So we've got a couple of staff members that have been out pulling signs up. And anyone that sees, especially one of the big 4x8 signs that we've missed, please let us know through our campaign website where's that, because we want to get it up as bad as everybody wants it up. But, our time's filled. Right now we're headed to Montgomery. We have a meeting set up with the governor. Kind of a meet and greet. I'm sure she'll have a handful of things that she'll need me to help her with in Washington, and I want to talk to her, about some of the possibilities of some things that I would like to see accomplished in District 1. So lots and lots of Zoom meetings. I've become the Zoom expert, but a lot of time is filled with meeting people, talking to them, getting our feet up under them, hear what the needs are in the business community, just doing, preparing to do our job. We've got to listen to a lot of people, about a lot of issues and kind of sort through that. So that's what's taking up most of my time. I did take, I'm proud to say, 2 days off, which was Saturday and Sunday last week, and my wife and I escaped for a few days up with a friend of ours and outside of Sylacauga and hid out at his farm and got to fish and ride four-wheelers and act like kids again. So, but we're back at it. We're back at work.
And I, is it a lot of that, just the orientation part of it, and you get the do's and don'ts of Washington, but I guess beyond that, just I bet you're really getting introduced to a lot of new people, or a lot of people, I should say it this way, are introducing themselves to you.
Yes, and I'm one of these people. I want to talk to everybody. I want to hear everybody's opinion. I want to sort it out and form my own opinion. So, you know, with the way things are going right now, you know, we'll spend a total of about, I think, 16 days on the ground in D.C. for orientation over the next 21-day period. And, you know, we've got a lot to do there. We've got, you know, pick an office out through their lottery system. We will, of course, we'll have staff ready to move, which should be finalized here in a couple of days. But we've still got to find, I've got to find a small apartment, you know, something close to the Capitol or the house up there. And, of course, my wife will be with me. So, we're trying to get something that she feels comfortable staying at, too, you know, when she's up there. We have no intentions of moving up there. Our family's in Mobile. We'll stay in Mobile. It's a lot of moving parts, but again, I got a lot of great people around me that are taking a lot of these things off of me. And even on the personal side, I've got some damage to a place I've got up on the Alabama River, and Chris Pringle has stepped up. He's trying to help me with the damage up there. I mean, not just the congressional side, but also the personal side. I've got people really stepping up to help me on some of this stuff. I've got my house flooded 3 days before the election, so I'm living out of an apartment. A house up the river got a tree on top of it, so I've got. I'm house poor and can't live in any of them. So, but I've got great friends and great people that I'm working with.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're on your way there. Tell us this: you mentioned the bridge. I think that's like something a lot of people down in our neck of the woods really, really care about. What do you do first there? What do you do to get the ball rolling back on the I-10 bridge? Talk about the toll or any of that?
Well, the toll's out of the question. I'll never settle for a toll simply because it's too controversial. I don't think it's fair to the local folks. I think the local folks that are going to and from work, Baldwin County to Mobile, Mobile to Baldwin County, I don't think they need to be strapped with a toll. Now, we were talking about tolls only to people passing through, vacationers or truck traffic, I'm all for that. I understand that. I get that. But once we take the option for the local folks to use it untold off the table, that's when my first started flying and I got against the project, and that's been my stance, and it will remain my stance. Now, what we've got to do now is, first, we've got to get local elected officials back in better communication with the governor's office. That's part of the conversation I'll have today, to find out what the governor needs me to do or how I can play a role in that, because every one of those elected officials over there are my personal friends, and we need a good positive conversation going between local officials, our legislature, and also the governor. That's first and foremost. Step two is we've got to figure out a way of downsizing the project where it's actually doable. And then three, raise the money. And I know that sounds like a lot, but you know, we've got Richard Shelby in office for the next 2 years, and we have got to take advantage of that from the appropriation side. I don't want to show my hand too much, but you know, I've been working on this for the last 8 months, trying to get this, keep the bridge alive and keep it moving, and I think it is. So again, I don't want to get ahead of myself and say too much, but you know, we all understand that the bridge is an extremely, extremely important project for District 1, period. So we can't lose our sight of that. We may disagree in some areas, but we have to keep pushing and keep that alive. The business community and the locals is too important not to.
Well, and this, other than the bridge, I know you campaigned on this all the last 2 years about what your priorities would be, but really, is it still, you know, Austell? Is it still the things we talked about all during the campaign? Now that you're in a position of power there, you really do much there? You know what I mean?
Hard to, yeah, I'm working hard to get on the HASC committee or the Armed Service Committee, as we civilians know it's called, and that's one that will actually oversee the contracts and the future expansion of Austell. We know there's some problems there. That's the reason Austell is responding with doing a lot of switchover to a steel hull. None of that, secret. So, I think it's very important to our national security that we keep that shipyard up and going and working. And I think so many people in Washington realize that too. So we've got to work very hard over the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years to make sure that Austell stays productive. If I can get on that committee, obviously I could do a much better job of watching over them. If I don't get on that committee for whatever reason, I'll still watch over them. That doesn't mean I can't still work in the background on that. Another committee that I'm really working hard to get on is the Agriculture Committee, the Ag Committee. The ag community there is huge in South Alabama. Most people don't pay a lot of attention to it, but we raise a lot of peanuts and a lot of cotton and a lot of cattle too. So, we've got to protect our farmers, especially our independent small farmers. They're trying to pass those farmers the farm on to the next generation. That's what feeds the world. And we've really, I'm really working hard to get on that committee also, because I want some say into what happens to the future of our farmers. I think that's important for South Alabama. No one in Alabama is on that ag committee. So I think it's very important that we get a voice from Alabama on that ag committee. So those are the two committees I'm really pushing for until things settle down a little bit in Washington, until we know how many House seats that we've actually flipped. We won't know what's really available. Nancy Pelosi historically will wait to the last minute and let us know what we will, as it's her determination, her right, but she'll wait to the last minute to let everybody know what the numbers are, and then it's the Republican Party's job to start sorting out who's on what committee. So I'm politicking as hard as I can with my party folks and tell them what my wants are and what my needs are, or our District 1's needs are. Hopefully it'll work out good for us, the district.
And then the how it kind of works, you're getting on those committees. But tell me this, 2022 looming, that maybe these next 2 years will really, maybe be the time to get in that right direction, get in that right place for Republicans could take the Congress. And then you're really looking at maybe having more chips to play with here when it comes to some of these things.
Oh, by all means, just because you get on a committee, what committee you land on today does not dictate what you're going to be on in 2 years. Now, that doesn't mean that you want to get yourself in a position where you want to start shifting committees just to move up the ranks. I mean, those are the two committees I'm hoping for, and I hope I get on them. But if I should get on a committee that I'm uncomfortable with and it just doesn't fit my personality, just like an education committee, I don't think I would serve District 1 very well on an education committee. That's just not it. But you start talking about ways and means, you start talking about financial, that's my background, that's who I am. I mean, there's other committees I could serve on, so I want to be loyal to the committees that I get appointed on, and seniority is very important. So but just because you get what you would consider to be an off committee for your personality, that doesn't mean you have to stay there. I think we will take the House in 2022. I mean, I've got a huge learning curve here that I've got to move fast on and learn as much as I can. I want to represent District 1 to the best of my ability. Plus, I mean, I've got some big shoes to fill coming in behind, coming in behind a Jack Edwards and a Sonny Callahan, and a Joe Bonner, and a Bradley Byrne. I mean, those are statesmen. They've set the bar very, very high for somebody like myself. So I've got a lot to learn. And at the same time, obviously serve the district. And looking at 2022, we expect that to be a very challenged race for us. So So we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make choices that probably not everybody's going to agree with, but we're going to be, you know, be ourselves. Be just Jerry, as I keep telling people. I can't be anybody else. I'm just Jerry. So trial and error is normally what I learn from, but we're in a position now we can't afford too many errors, especially with everything that's going on. So we're going to do the best we can do, buddy, no doubt.
Well, I think you're on your way there, but that really suddenly, I guess, if we concede that Joe Biden is president, I mean, that becomes like the talk, that 2022 is such a big deal, and I guess a lot of the focus is going to be finally getting
the
speaker out of the way,
scenario.
Right?
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario in my mind. I'm not ready to accept that yet. I mean, we've still got a lot of questions that are out there that needs to be answered. But, you know, at the end of the day, I represent the people in District 1, and where, however it turns out, I have to learn to work and adapt to that and do what's best for our district. But I'm not ready to, by no means, concede or say who's going to be president. I think we're in a situation right now that if we don't get answers to a lot of these questions, we're going to live another 4 years of what we just went through. And the last 4 years have just been pure hell for the Republican Party. And we don't need to go through that again. So we need to answer these questions and let's move on. I'd love to be able, if I had a crystal ball, I could read it to you. But I'll tell you one, I'm going to talk about a quitter. And better, no one assumes that he's just going to roll over and give up. It's not going to happen. But we'll see. We'll see. This race in Georgia, the Senate race.
Congressman,
I started raising money for that to help our Republican candidates over there. I've been raising money the last 24 hours to help support that and make sure we hold those two Senate seats. Because with those two Senate seats, we can get a lot accomplished in Washington, regardless of the turnout of the presidential race. And, you know, I'm hoping, I heard Mo Brooks on your radio last week. And Mo Brooks talked about how, you know, if it gets kicked to the court system has to pass it on and winds up in the House. That's what I'm hoping we see. But again, we, you know, the Republican Party is very good about following the law, and we have to be patient and let the process work itself out.
Congressman, we got to leave it. We're up against a break here. We got to leave it there.
Sorry.
That's okay. We appreciate your time, and we'll pick this conversation up sometime in the near future.
Love to, Jeff. Great talking to you.
All right. That's Congressman-elect Jerry Carr, ladies and gentlemen. Got to get to break here. We'll be right back to CFM Talk 106.5.